This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And checking in with State Senator Floyd Prezansky, lawmakers with legislative days and task force day last week as well. Floyd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kyle. Hope you're doing well.
So talk about some of the things that you were involved in and that took place last week.
Well, last week, as you said, was legislative days. It's the time when all of the legislators are invited back to the Capitol normally, when we're not in a virtual setting, to actually conduct our hearings. But because of the COVID issues, plus the Capitol is under major construction trying to do retrofits for seismic, we did all of our meetings by virtual, with the exception that the Senate appeared on the floor on Friday to do confirmation votes from the governor's appointments for boards and commissions. My committee, the Judiciary Committee, met on Wednesday, the 21st, and we had an agenda of multiple updates, informational hearings on different topics of what we've been following, getting, reviews for stuff that has passed, and also looking at new approaches to dealing with different subject matter.
Wanted to back up a minute, and if you can kind of remind us about that Capitol construction project and what all is being done.
Well, it's a retrofit of the for seismic. If you remember, the Capitol experienced with an earthquake a movement of the gold man up on top of the rotunda about a quarter of an inch or so, and this is, boy, I wish I had that date in the back of my mind, probably about 15 years ago, and because of that, it really caused a lot of concerns, and so this is a project that's been ongoing where the legislature has been funding different portions of the retrofitting, and so at this point, we're into kind of like the last phase, which is going to be a very long phase, a couple of years. But basically, they're going underneath, literally underneath the Capitol and having equipment. I mean, we're talking heavy equipment being able to be driven underneath the Capitol so they can actually size up and actually put in pier supports underneath the Capitol to keep it basically standing and putting in the buffers that are necessary to help cushion any type of earthquake that we could experience in the future.
Wow. So a lot there, and that just impacts things from a practical matter. Talk more about judiciary and some of the things they're involved in right now.
Well, what we did on Wednesday, we had a meeting of, I guess I'm going to call it ballot measure 110. The first part was not directly ballot measure 110. It was dealing with substance use disorders and overdose numbers. And this was a panel that was basically telling us that you need to do more than just provide for on the health side of the addiction. You also need to have some type of catalyst to ensure that people actually are participating. So we had a pretty lively discussion on that portion, and then we went directly into an update on ballot measure 110. For those who do not remember, this was a citizen initiative that was passed 2 years ago that basically stated that we wanted to do something different, contrary to using public safety and law enforcement to enforce laws against individuals that are addicted to various substances. And so the voters lowered the penalties and made violations non-criminal of user amounts of certain type of controlled substances. And so we heard today or on Wednesday was that the money allocations for the first round has been completed. So this means that money into communities across the state has now been released, and we're going to start seeing some of the infrastructure necessary to provide these services on a statewide basis actually going forward. There's been a lot of controversy because the OHA had been taking a lot of time to try to get the framework and dynamics together before they started releasing money, but all the indications are we're going to see these programs going up and running over the next 6 to 12 months, and then we'll start looking at what and how it's being impacting the addiction levels in the state and individuals seeking treatment.
And obviously, this has been a very controversial one.
It has been. It's one of the, I'll be very frank with you, I did not support ballot measure 110 on the ballot. based on my review of the language that was in there, I had some concerns, significant concerns, I should say. But as you well know, we had to do the implementation language around the measure that passed. So we coordinated various components of it. I believe we've reached the threshold of what the voters wanted. The real question is, how many people are actually going to be served through this process, and you're actually going to see people being able to release themselves from an addiction, which is not the easiest thing to do, as you well know.
Talk about other things that took place maybe with other committees that you had.
Well, we also had the Justice Reinvestment Equity Program and Importance for Cultural Specific Investments. This is a combination of making certain that services are actually getting into portions of the state, into demographics, and making certain that you actually are investing in programs that actually have a better success rate with different demographics of the state. And so this was one that we basically got the information as to where the money has been allocated to, and the purpose of looking at the data and showing the performance of these more local community programs, nonprofits, actually being able to deliver service to specific demographics within their community on a better success rate. So that was very good and exciting. We also are looking at, or had looked at, the three-branch public defense work group. This is the ongoing work group that has been in the newspaper as to the lack of public defenders available to individuals who have been charged with criminal activity, crimes, that are eligible for having public defense, but there's no public defenders to appoint. So this is much more sobering of an issue that we've been dealing with. The individual who was actually the executive director of the agency was removed from that position about 2 weeks ago. So there's a pretty big void in trying to ensure that we have ongoing investments to ensure individuals are being represented. And, Kyle, I've just got to tell you that the last numbers I saw, which I'll say were 2 weeks ago, there were 1,300-plus individuals in the state of Oregon who had been charged with crimes that were eligible to have a defense attorney appointed for them that did not have an attorney. And on top of that number, 39 of those individuals were actually still in custody without any legal representation. And this is something, from my perspective, not only as the chair of the judiciary, but as a prosecutor in this state for 30-something years, it's just unbearable to think that we have individuals being charged with crimes, not being represented as they have the right to, and they're sitting in jail.
And it's interesting as well. We've, of course, seen a lot of shortages in a lot of different areas coming through the pandemic here. But in this particular area, any reason why there's a shortage of people working as public defenders?
Yeah, a lot. One is money. The amount of that they are being paid per hour trying to make ends meet is very difficult, plus their caseload. Some individual attorneys report that they have over 100 active cases that they're supposed to be monitoring and working and trying to provide not only legal services, but ones that are effective and actually are able to really deal with the issues that their client may have. And it's just also a burnout based on that. And so a lot of people who have great desires to do this type of work realize that they're just on a treadmill, just spinning, and they're not seeing any relief. So the goal here is to get more individuals into the courtroom that are trained and experienced. We're looking at this point, individuals who have retired, not only as defense attorneys, but prosecutors who are now retired, also judges who have retired, and seeing at least if we can bring them in as maybe supervisors for additional third-year law students, also for them to be able to pick up cases. And we're looking at an infusion of money to pay federal qualified criminal defense lawyers to come in at the rate that they're paid currently doing the same work and at the federal level. And what's the difference in that? It's about $158 an hour, I believe, for the public defenders in the federal system. And if my numbers are correct, I think the state is paying under $70, if I'm not mistaken, per hour for individuals to be represented. So there's a lot of things, moving parts here. We have a work group of about 40 different stakeholders, myself and Representative Paul Evans, who is out of the Salem area, have been charged to convene this group and work through the process of not only triaging the situation that I just described, but also looking at how do we ensure in the future, how do we deliver these services and make certain we don't see the cluster that we see happening right now in our state.
Wow. Well, out of time for today, but certainly a lot of things going on. I guess final question, did things slow down a bit now that we're kind of approaching the general election for lawmakers?
Slowed down in the sense of activity in the Capitol, yes. But as you can know and imagine, for those individuals who are up for election, it's a very busy time shifting into the final stages of that. I believe we have 43 days until the election on November 8th. So hopefully everyone listening is starting to tune in and get more information about those who want to represent you.
All right. State Senator Floyd Przanski, thanks for being on this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. I hope your day goes well.
8:43 at the Morning Report.